What's going on, my friends? Tony Steffen here, back with another episode of the School of Success podcast. And today I'm joined by a badass and fellow registered dietitian, Andreas. Did I say it?
Yes, you said it right. You nailed it.
Nailed it. There we go. What's going on, man?
Not much, brother. Just getting home from work and super excited about to jump into today's topic and chat a little bit more about it.
Did you change some lives today or what?
I did. That's a goal. An NFL athlete actually today. So that was really fun.
No way. Okay. So yeah. Tell me more about that. And obviously, as you're explaining that, you know, obviously you work with athletes. So maybe explain a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. So, well, first of all, my name is Andres, like you said, and I'm a registered sports dietitian here in Tampa, Florida. I am the director of sports nutrition for the Applied Science and Performance Institute, which is just like a long version for ASPE. And we basically specialize in, it's a performance training facility, but also a research center. So it's led by Dr. Jacob Wilson and Dr. Ryan Lowry, which are huge advocates of, you know, different kind of therapeutic methods such as ketogenic diet and fasting approaches. So we do a lot of research on that area, but also we work with a lot of professional athletes such as, you know, NFL. We have a huge NFL combine program and Major League Baseball players and NHL. So I get to work into many different environments, from medical clients up to, you know, super, you know, crazy badass. I don't know if I'm supposed, if I can curse in this podcast, but
yeah, go for it.
NFL athletes that are awesome. So I get to do a little bit of everything. And at the same time, I have my own online coaching platform called Viva Nutrition. Viva stands for to live. And I help athletes and non-athletes trying to put on muscle mass. It's what I specialize with these big guys. To try to get them to put on muscle in a very short period of time. And I try to do the same thing for, you know, the general population out there and trying to really get them to be jacked and, you know, looking good. So
I love it. And that's why you're here, man, is you are a ketogenic expert. You're credentialed, but not just credentialed. You know yourself, like you put out really good content. But as we were alluding to before we hit the record button here, you stay non-biased because no, and I'm not going to like be mutually exclusive to ketogenic diets here, but like for whatever reason, people hold their dietary and their nutritional beliefs as like a religion. And like, yeah. if it's like, if you're not in this, like what does, if it's not paleo, it's totally wrong. If it's not keto, it's wrong. If it's not flexible dieting, it's wrong. And I think, again, a true expert is someone who will admit that there's multiple facets and multiple approaches that work well for so many other people. And you're able to take a sizzling hot topic like ketogenic diets right now. Like, I would you agree that in 2018, that's probably the most
trendy
and not even trendy, but just the most like talked about diet out there right now? Nutrition.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. I think it's like, it's all over the news and the problem I think is also like the media, since it's obviously they take it as a trend. And then obviously all the clickbaits, like, you know, news outlets that just kind of like just blow it out of proportion and obviously make it to be something that it's not, and obviously create such a big misunderstanding in society that obviously, you know, it's completely erroneous. It's just completely wrong. So I try to obviously kind of put out the right information out there.
So let's jump into that. What about, because most people would ask like, oh, what's the keto diet? What's the benefit? But let me ask you this. What about the keto diet and like what the media spins around it? Like what's wrong? Like, what are wrong ways to do keto? Who would you not recommend the keto diet for?
So let's first come up with a definition. So a ketogenic diet is one in which you are manipulating your macronutrients in order for you to push your body to produce ketones, or ketone bodies, which are the byproduct of fat oxidation, by lowering your carbohydrates low enough to accomplish that goal. So essentially it's a high fat, very low carbohydrate and moderate protein diet that seeks to do that. Now the ketogenic diet started as a method, and it's honestly, this is the funniest part. And this is what I think with the media and why I think they have completely wrong. It's because ketogenic diet is nothing new. Like, this is something that has been around for decades. It's obviously been more brought up because of recent research studies and obviously changing some like the paradigms that we've obviously believed in nutrition. And I think obviously that's why it's become so trendy nowadays. But the honest truth is that nobody really follows a true ketogenic diet because honestly, it's not, it's very hard to do. Like a true clinical ketogenic diet, which is based on ketogenic ratios, is extremely high in fat and very low in protein and carbs that not even some vegetables can be included as part of it. So a true, true ketogenic diet is not necessarily what people follow. What people follow out there and what's on the news is a modified ketogenic diet, which is very similar. It's also some people call it the modified Atkins diet, which is essentially a higher, a little bit higher carbohydrates that allows a little bit more fiber, a little bit more protein, more for like the general kind of population to follow. So starting off from that, I think that's where the media gets it wrong because I guess it's just easier to put keto because there's only one word and it's catchy, so it makes sense. But essentially, all of us, and I did a ketogenic diet, or in my case, a modified ketogenic diet for almost a year. You know, and that's how we should be referred to, unless you were really following a clinical ketogenic diet, which I've talked to previous, for example, I forgot, Pega, she's an awesome dietitian in New York, and she's a clinical dietitian, and we talked about this in an Instagram Live before, that is true. It's like not, it's not really a true keto diet. It's essentially a modified Atkins or a modified ketogenic diet, per se.
That's crazy, man. So like just for frame of reference here, so sounds like a true keto diet, we're talking like what, 10 grams of carbs, if that?
Probably somewhere around 20 complete carbs, not even, because a lot of people use the whole ketogenic terms and they use like net carbs. And net carbs are essentially, you know, when you take all total carbohydrates and just subtract all dietary fiber, all sugar, alcohols, and, you know, things like that, you take it out from there. So if, for example, if you're consuming 60 grams of carbs, and out of those, like 35 grams are fiber, which is usually 25 to 35, the general recommendation for, you know, according to US guidelines, you would be left with 25 grams of net carbs. So for some people, they consider that a ketogenic diet. And that's kind of like for reference. And then when you're looking at fat, you're looking at closer to 75 plus percent of calories coming from fat sources.
Wow. That's a lot of bacon, man.
That's a lot of bacon.
That's crazy. Okay, so that makes sense. So like, who would you not recommend a keto diet for then?
Okay, that's a great question. Yeah, so I think it's really depending on the goal of the person and honestly where they're coming from. So I would not recommend it for somebody that comes to me, and I tell this to a lot of people when they come to my sessions and my practices, when they come to me and they say, I want to follow a ketogenic diet. So the first question I ask them is, why do you want to follow a ketogenic diet? Oh, because I want to lose weight. That's the first person I would say, like, let's try something else first. Why? Because I want to understand exactly where they're coming from and why they're looking for this kind of approach, and understand to see if they're just looking at it because it's trendy and they heard that you're going to lose like 10 pounds in the first week, because you will. Tons of water is going to come out because you're lower in your glycogen stores and there's a ton of water coming out. So for those purposes, then I'd say, you know what, maybe we just need to try something different. And if we actually try something different for a certain amount of time and we see that it doesn't work and you want to experiment with something like this, then we can give it a go and we can give it a try. You know, so that is like the main thing for it. Another people, there's obviously certain conditions within the clinical population that is not recommended to. So for people, for example, that have any kind of like fat malabsorption syndromes or fat malabsorption conditions, then we definitely don't want to do that. For people, for women that are pregnant, that's also somebody that is, it will not be recommended to for or not be a good candidate for a ketogenic diet. And certain medical conditions, you know, I think ketogenic diets are actually more targeted for specific therapeutic benefits. Particularly, there's a lot of research on cancer applications, diabetes. It's been around for decades as far as a treatment for childhood epilepsy. So I think, if anything, it's more directed to clinical populations. Now, I do see a place for it in general population that are trying to obviously improve, you know, energy levels and trying to do different things as an experiment, like I did it, but understanding exactly what it entails. And what I usually do when I do work with clients that are interested in following something like this, and after we went through a really thorough review and assessment, then I teach them how to follow a modified ketogenic diet, you know, to that is sustained. Because you can still accomplish the same results as a true keto diet to allow yourself, a body, to start to produce ketones, and you can measure that. And, you know, I definitely can see a benefit for people that are just looking at for health benefits. But there's, when people come to me and say, hey, I want to lose weight, put me on a keto diet, that's the first person I say, you know what, let's step back a minute and see, let's do a full assessment before we dive into that.
Wow, that's crazy. That's very cool to hear you say that, because I would feel, do you feel like you get a lot of people that come to you? It's like saying like, look, dude, I know this is the, because let's be honest, when you work with, you know, any, I guess I shouldn't even say fat loss, but any population, we all want results and we want them fast, right?
Yeah.
So we're all impatient people. So do you feel like you are combating a lot of that? Like people coming in like, look, I want to lose weight fast, so I want to do keto.
Yeah, absolutely. And usually what I tell people is like, well, if first off, like after we do the assessment and we understand is that this person is like, you know, nail it down. Like, yeah, I heard you're a keto expert and I want to do this and I want to try it. I want to experiment. And I was like, okay, so let's actually set up some expectations and for you to understand exactly what this is about and what I expect you to do in order for you to be successful in this kind of program. And I set the expectations from day one. And I say, listen, in order for you to really see a good benefit from a ketogenic diet, you have to stay on this and make it a lifestyle for at least 6 to 12 months, or at least 3, like, so you can actually have a proper adaptation. And you talk a lot about metabolic adaptations, and it's the same thing with keto. You're trying to change your entire body's physiology to use fat as a main source of fuel, so that you have to give it time. And that's why a lot of people, they do keto and they're excited about all the progress, and after a month they're like, oh no, this sucks. I'm just going to like completely throw the towel and I'm just not going to do it. Why? Because you didn't allow yourself enough time for your body to fully adapt to this kind of program and for your physiology to completely change. And you lost the weight that you lost because you lost a ton of water, you know? So I think that the biggest thing is setting the expectation from day one and making them understand that this is not, I try to teach it as a lifestyle that you will do for a certain amount of time. You can revert back to it, to a normal kind of like dietary approach, but you have to make sure that you do this kind of thing right. And the education for a ketogenic diet is such a key factor, and that if you don't have proper education and you don't have a good foundation, it's so hard to make somebody, you know, do something like this.
Dude, I love that. And that's, again, like I said, I speak very highly of you. I think your, you know, knowledge is very good. Your content is very good. Obviously your coaching is very good, because any good coach will set clear expectations from the get-go, right? Yeah. I have found myself more times than not sometimes recently of, you get someone and I mean, especially with keto. And that's why, like I said, it's very refreshing to hear you say that, because you're right. There are so many clickbait things. And what we mean by clickbait, it's like, oh, lose 10 pounds in 10 days eating bacon and ribeyes. It's like, oh, fuck yeah. Teach me how.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? But it's like, you have to set these clear expectations, and it's better to not get someone into a program who would not be successful, or get them in and then they have no idea what they're going to, like, they have no idea that what really comes with it, because then they're not going to be successful. So props to you for that, man. Props to you for that. Let me ask you this. What happens if someone does keto, they start seeing results, but then they are like non-compliant with it? So like, Or I guess I could also say, like, what happens if they're not able to commit for a lifestyle change? Like, do they gain the weight back? Like, what do you see?
Yeah, so this is extremely important, and that's why we try to teach a very comprehensive approach where I work at. And in fact, they're building as part of, like, you know, I'm associated also with ketogenic.com, and I helped them kind of like build like the educational component. And one of the things in our meetings that we discuss is how to make this process sustainable, and for people that are not wanting to move forward with it, you know, how do we revert it back so they don't really kind of like, you know, mess up too much. And here's the key thing, like, and why we have to set the expectations very clear. In a ketogenic diet, first off, you can have freedom to do certain foods that are that go against what we've always been taught that we needed to limit, you know, for example, things like butter, things like oils and things like that, because you have to change and increase the amount of fat that you have to consume. However, you know, here's the part where a lot of people start to say, well, like, what happens if I do like a cheat day and I have like, you know, a day that I just want to have a pizza and, you know, carb up and doing things like that. It's not necessarily going to break your metabolism per se, especially after you adapt it for a while, but it's not ideal, because now when you're combining very high carbohydrates, especially refined carbohydrates, and a huge insulin response along with a very high fat intake, then obviously you start to have some problems if you do it long term. If it happens like maybe once in a while or something like that after you've been keto adapted, what research shows is you can actually come back to a state of ketosis fairly rapidly if only you are actually doing it properly. But a lot of people are not. So that's the key thing for this. So when I start with my clients, I usually tell them, like, there's no really, we're not going to have any cheat days here. Like, it's not like we're not going to call them that. It's just simply like you're just going to have to follow a different lifestyle. Where there were days that you may have like a higher caloric range. However, it's not going to be worth the pizza and things like that at the beginning as we're keto adapting. We want to make sure that you're actually having, if you're going to increase your calories, make sure like, wait, you up your fat a little bit more, or maybe you up your protein a little bit more on those workout days to make sure that you're still maintaining your state of ketosis if that is the goal for you and that's exactly what you're trying to accomplish. So reverting back to it, you just have to be careful. And when people want to completely stop, I usually, and I know you're a huge believer in reverse dieting, I try to obviously kind of like do something similar to that, to try to reincorporate carbohydrates in a slow manner back up to a normal level. That's exactly what I did when I came off of it. I kind of switched into a low carbohydrate diet, and then I started increasing moderately up to a level that was like comfortable for me.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about that. So you did ketogenic, you did the keto diet for a year. Can you talk a little bit about your experience and like your experience with the keto diet, what you thought about it, how your results, and then like your transition out of keto diet to where you are now?
Absolutely. So I started ketogenic diet probably around July of 2017, so last year, as an experiment. And I like to experiment things for me for at least six months to 12 months when I'm trying to do something new. How did I start it? I actually did intermittent fasting for an entire year, and which I still do because I like to incorporate that. I think it aligns well with my lifestyle. But I started ketogenic diet along with it. And it was actually very, it was interesting. It was, I started the process. I started measuring my ketones. The biggest mistake that I made is, and we talked about this, you know, and when we talked in the past about, you know, like exactly counting what are like the macronutrient profile is looking like. And I actually never did that to the T. I did it sporadically to see exactly what my fat levels were and stuff like that. I just use my dietitian mind and think, okay, I need to do this much grams of fat, this much grams of protein, and so, and kind of visually estimate it based on off of that. So from the physical standpoint and from weight perspective, I actually didn't see great results because I honestly think that I was just eating way too many calories, which leads to an important component on here. Just because you're following a ketogenic diet does not mean that regardless you can have, and you, I think you posted about this the other day, you can still have 5,000 calories worth of fat and you're going to lose the weight because it doesn't work that way. And it happened to me. Now, granted, I actually, like my energy was different. I can tell you that. I slept a little bit better. I was very constantly having like really good, like, you know, bursts of energy throughout the day. My workouts were good. And believe it or not, my strength went up throughout that process, which is contrary to the belief that, well, you need those kind of carbohydrates to be able to do that. I guess that is true, but I proved myself wrong within when I started this process in this experiment, because I did see really good results as far as strength and energy, not necessarily physically speaking, because my weight didn't fluctuate too much. In fact, at some point it kind of went up a little bit because I wasn't paying too much attention to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So let me kind of tie back to two really critical things you said there. Number one, so I think it's irrefutable that up until this point, like, you're an expert, you're very knowledgeable, you know your stuff, you're a registered dietitian. But again, you know the real world application too. But even you said, when I was not fully, you know, monitoring my intake, I was not seeing the best results. And I, like you said, I was trying to like just wing it a little bit. Yeah. So for everyone listening to this, like, proof is in the pudding that even dietitians, people who have studied nutrition for a living and who literally talk about nutrition 8, 10, 12 hours per day, whatever it may be, even we have to like really quantify our intake if we want to see like different level of results, right? Like for you, even like when you came into, you know, like coaching with me, you were generally a pretty lean guy. So you've been, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but you know, you're going for a higher level of aesthetics here, but proof is in the pudding. You can't just wing it. You can't just wing it with your calories. And then number two, what you said also was you applied what works best for your lifestyle. So like intermittent fasting, that's a whole, we could talk for another hour all about that, but you like take what is applicable to your lifestyle and you apply it and you use it for what it is. But like you said, nothing is like a magical approach. Keto won't work if you just say, oh my God, these are magical like ribeyes here, I can eat as many as I want. No, you still cannot ignore the first rule of fat loss, which is total calories in matter, like total calories in matter. And intermittent fasting, that's great. That's what works for you. And like you said, you still use that because that's what works for you. But it's not saying, all right, well, in that 8-hour window, I can eat as many calories as I want and won't turn to fat. No, like you can't disregard the first law of fat loss and like law of thermodynamics.
Yeah, I agree. It was definitely, it's exactly what I think it's, it was like, the, it was a big, big learning experience for sure to kind of go through that entire process. And I think it was kind of eye-opening, honestly, to do that. Now, for the perspective of like, you know, sustainability, because that's a big thing a lot of people ask me about, because they think it's just only eggs, cheese, and bacon, you know, and that's, you know, the main three staples of, you know, like nutrition. And I think the biggest thing that people need to understand is it can be sustainable, because you can actually get creative with things. So for example, GB, my fiance, she started this whole journey with me. And in fact, she started her own brand, which is More Than Coco, and GB Hernandez and Instagram, and basically started as a keto recipe developer. And she did amazing things. You know, we're talking about, she made like, you know, things like rice using cauliflower. Of course, it was not the right, the same thing, but you know, she's actually created some amazing things out of using coconut flour, almond flour, and things like that. So from the sustainability aspect, a modified ketogenic diet can be sustained if you actually learn how to do it. And that's actually how I did it, because I honestly had some really good things. You know, she made brownies. I mean, she made all these different things. Just people need to learn exactly how to do it. But like you said, it's a more calorically dense diet. So it doesn't mean you're actually going to be eating less, which naturally the production of ketones is going to make you more, it's they make you feel fuller for longer. So you don't have the necessity to eat too much, especially when your ketone levels are pretty elevated. So you control that a little bit better. But again, you're eating volume-wise less amount of food because, again, the high fat intake. And that's something that a lot of people sometimes at the beginning, they don't fathom. And they still consume same similar amounts of food, but, you know, tons of fat, which is, you know, 2+ something times more calorically dense than carbohydrates and proteins.
That's a really, really good, interesting point there that you bring up. So can you talk about then your transition out of keto? Cause like what you said was really, cause I never even knew like what happens after keto. Right.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you kind of did like, your own type of reverse diet. So can you just talk about that transition and then like what your results were with that?
Yeah. So this is actually funny. So I'm going to tell you exactly what I did, because it wasn't the first, there was a week that it wasn't really reversed. I just went all out, which is probably not something I would recommend, but around April, I was going to say April 15th or so, me and my fiance, we went on a cruise, here in the Caribbean. We left from Tampa, and I said, you know what? I want to make a change. I want to make a transition. And I actually did a DEXA scan on myself because I was interested and curious enough to say like, what happens after a week of binge eating, or not binge eating, but essentially eating more than what I normally do, because I don't necessarily go and gorge on food like that. But I obviously was eating a lot more than normal, and alcohol and things like that. So it was really interesting to see what would happen to my body composition. So for those of you guys who don't know, DEXA scan is essentially, it's sort of an X-ray that kind of scans your entire body and looks at body fat and body composition and bone mineral density very tightly. And it can tell you exactly how much muscle mass and how much bone mineral density and body fat and lean mass that you have. So I did a pretest, and I did a test after I came back. This is going to sound weird, but and I'm going to explain why it's weird, but I'm going to explain what happened. So I actually gained about 5 pounds of muscle throughout that process. Now, you're going to be like, shut up. That's not going to happen. Granted, I worked out when I was there, but that's just not impossible. That's just not possible. So what happened? What happened was, and this is my theory, is that I increased carbohydrate intake. So I loaded up on my carbohydrates and glycogen stores, which actually in a DEXA, you will not be able to see the differences, because glycogen would actually show as basically lean mass.
Okay.
So I think honestly, that's what kind of shows. So I replenished my glycogen stores, and of course my weight went up. My body fat kind of stayed the same according to a DEXA scan. The only mistake I didn't make or I made was the fact that I didn't really measure, for example, my body water or like an in-body or something like that under certain conditions, because it would have been interesting to kind of see what would happen. So it wasn't obviously a reverse diet from that week, but after I came back, I started reverting slowly. So what did I do? I started including carbohydrates kind of like towards like the end of the day and around my workouts. That was like the main kind of like strategy that I started to implement. Still not controlling anything. You know, I was just kind of like adding, well, let's just kind of add maybe some rice, some brown rice here and there, maybe for dinner or something like that, because I worked out usually at nighttime. And I was still doing intermittent fasting. Again, I was not really seeing many changes. I was not really tracking anything. And that's the point where I actually reached out to you, because I wanted to obviously try something different. And I needed that kind of like accountability, and I needed that, that, you know, somebody tell me what to do. You know, I deal with, you know, like dozens of people on a monthly basis, teaching them and coaching them on how to do nutrition. But sometimes, you know, and you know this, you need somebody that would actually tell you how to do certain things to kind of hold you accountable for this process. And that's where we kind of started, you know, kind of bumping up my carbohydrates a little bit, lowering the fat, which it was, I'm not going to lie to you. And I think we talked about this in the past. It was very, it was challenging, because after a year of like, you know, having, you know, those kind of high fat foods and things like that, it was definitely a big shocking moment. And I think for those of you listening in that are following a ketogenic diet and would like to transition, you had to really track down things down very, very closely, because, you know, the fat would definitely it's going to kind of creep up on you without you knowing it. And it makes it, you know, very, very challenging. So it got to a point where like I got to a really good amount of carbohydrates daily, still maintaining a calorie deficit. Like you said, my goals right now are aesthetics, and I'm trying to obviously lower body fat and get leaner. But that's kind of like where it led to where I am at today. So I think that's a pretty good summary of the whole process.
Yeah, that's so cool, man. Thank you for sharing that. I love that you led the way like with your clients. Like you did keto full blown for a period of time. Right. And yeah. Like you were literally in the trenches with it. And I think, again, that's just what makes a great coach, is someone who's lived it and can then like relate on that level. And obviously this is a podcast, so there's no video, but if people could see your abs right now, man, they would see the benefit of all this hard work, dude, because you've absolutely crushed it. And yes, I'm a huge proponent that coaches have coaches, and you're right. It's even more so for us. Like when we take care of everyone else all day, the person who suffers is us, right? It's like, I'm not going to track. I'm not going to go to the gym. Nah, I don't have to. I'm good. It's like, yeah. So I totally get that. I totally believe that. And that's something so cool also for people to hear who transition out of a keto diet into a different style of program. And, you know, cause what I preach and what I use with my clients is usually a little bit higher carbohydrates to fuel that performance, which was so interesting to hear you say that you actually felt stronger, in the gym as your glycogen levels were depleted. But again, it's always personal preference, man. And it's always like, you know, sometimes it's what you experience, it goes against common knowledge or, you know, the textbook answers, but that's the human body, dude. There's not always going to be like, you know, like, oh, why did this happen? You don't know. So that was really interesting to hear. But yeah. you transitioned like when we were, you know, in the nitty gritty of it. And I remember those conversations like, damn, dude, this is a little bit lower fat. But A, it got the results you wanted. But you're right. You have to shift that mentality. What foods did you utilize? I know we've talked about it in the past, but like when your carbs were a little bit higher and fat was a little bit lower, like what foods did you switch out? And what are like your core staples of fats that you always try to keep in your diet?
I'm a big feta cheese guy. I love that stuff, to add it to a lot of stuff. I can tell you, so let's see what, let's first talk about like my fat staples that were there a lot, like before in the very high amounts. And then I had to kind of like cut down a lot, which was really difficult for me. So, avocados, you know, I would eat probably like closer to an entire avocado in a day, which is closer to 35, 40 grams of fat. So I switch over and I did like avocado bowls and, you know, avocado with like ground beef, like full fat and things like that before. So of course now I'm switching to things like turkey, like ground chicken and stuff like that. And like maybe lowering that avocado down to like a quarter or something like that to kind of stay within my specific, you know, macronutrient ranges and, you know, my fat intake. So that was maybe one of them. Things like, for example, like certain kinds of dressings and olive oil and things like that. Now I try to, you know, kind of choose different kinds of options, such as, you know, like a low calorie dressing or a Greek yogurt dressing or something like that. So it's a little bit more, I can still get that taste and that feel, but it's not that I'm adding that ton of fat that I used to add before. And then there's a big one too, like I guess nuts and seeds. I was huge into macadamia nuts, which are so crazily good, but they're so high in calories in like really small amount. So like I had to like cut those out because I was just not going to have like, you know, like half of a handful. You know, it was just not, I'd rather spend my, you know, like kind of like my fat points into something else. So those were like maybe like the main ones that I feel like I had to kind of cut out a little bit. But then I replaced it for things that I liked, you know, that I used to consume a lot more before. Like, you know, I love my cashew cereal and then like, okay, now I'm going to be able to kind of incorporate something like that. And then my here and there, I would actually throw in my Pop-Tart post-workout just to kind of increase that insulin response or something. So it was a really fun transition to me. And you know, and I love the fact that I've done this for the past 3 years because I've seen, you know, I've seen it all within this kind of, you know, kind of a approach to nutrition and to going from pole to pole and understanding exactly how you can switch your entire, you know, lifestyle and your, all your customs and all the things that you learn to do for an entire year back to something that, you know, is completely different. So, and that's, I think I'm a big believer of change and I'm a big believer of, you know, changing. And I think you are as well, you know, changing things up and adjusting and shocking the body and doing different things from the training and nutrition perspective. Just when things are just not going, you know, the way you want it. And I think that's, I think that was a key. So did I answer your question? I think I mentioned a couple of foods, but I don't know if it was
totally. No, that's perfect, man. That was perfect. Yeah. And I agree with that too, man. You can't be afraid to try new things. You can't be afraid to experiment with your body. You know, there's yeah. millions and millions of inputs in diet, nutrition, you know, lifestyle, training, right? There's millions of inputs that you can try. It, like, cause people always want to know what's the best program. And what they're really saying is what's the best program for me, right? They don't care what the best overall program in the world is. They want to know what's the best program, dietary protocol, food supplement to, you know, ingest to give them the best results. And the only way to figure that out is to try everything.
Yeah.
try everything. Work with someone who's experienced, who can give you feedback, right? And get you on the right route. But if you're on your own, you try a lot of, you know, you try a lot of things, you figure out what you want, and then you get a coach in that field. What would you say, what would be your advice to someone who would want to start a keto diet? Like, what suggestions or what advice would you give them to start off, or to assess with them within themselves to be successful with the program?
That's a good question. So let's try to bullet point this to make sure that people get a really good takeaway from this. So number one, I think seek help. I think there are really good resources out there that you can read about, and there's a ton of books and there's a ton of places where you can start. But use that as a starting point before you even start the process. And there's a lot of people that are successful doing this stuff on their own because they have a really good knowledge base. But there's a lot of people that are also, you know, messing up their bodies big time because they're just not doing this thing properly. And when I have people coming into me and they say, well, I've been doing keto for an entire 2 months and I'm not seeing results. And when I hear what they're doing, I'm like, what? So I think that the biggest thing would be to start off with a proper education. In fact, with people that do keto with me, or specifically like people that are doing ketogenic therapies for a specific condition, I tell them, okay, like here are some resources where we're going to start reading about this whole thing. And we're going to go over all this information. And so when we kind of start this whole process, you already have a really good knowledge base and a knowledge foundation. So number one, get educated and seek for help, which I guess would be number two, which is seek help from a registered dietitian or a professional that really knows about this stuff. They can really kind of guide you through the process. Unfortunately, there's not a ton of dietitians that know too much about keto. And the ones that are out there are usually clinical dietitians because there are metabolic, you know, wings of hospitals that specialize in this, but there's not really a ton of people doing it as a private practice or, you know, as an online coaching kind of program. And I think it's important to really find a reputable resource for help and for coaching. So that's probably like number two. And number three is ask yourself, are you doing this out of a trend and because you heard it's awesome and because you saw a bunch of people seeing amazing results? Or are you doing it because you have a curiosity to explore something different with your body, and that you're just trying to do something, you know, out of what you've always been doing. And if that's the case, let's assess, let's evaluate and see if it's something that, that would work well for you. And number four, you know, be aware that this is something that you had to adopt as a lifestyle for a little while before you, you decide to kind of throw the towel. And that's a key thing that a lot of my clients, like they get frustrated at the beginning because obviously their energy drops and their energy dips a lot and they get really emotional and they get like not really happy at the beginning. And I say, I told you from the beginning, this is a process. And you had to kind of stick to this process to be able to kind of see those results. So have clear expectations of what you're going to do before you even start. And I think that's going to set you up for a better success following a ketogenic diet compared to obviously somebody that just read, you know, like the startup guide on how to do keto on, you know, some website. But I think, you know, the education component is important. My friends and colleagues, you know, Dr. Ryan Lavery, he wrote a really good book called The Ketogenic Bible that talks not only about how to do it, but what I like about what they wrote is the fact that they literally dissected down the entire research available to date. So he literally, you know, talked about cancer. He talked about diabetes. He talked about applications for this in a really, really simple manner to understand. So he gives you all the research and then he tells you, okay, this is for you. Here's exactly how you can actually do it. So maybe that's a place you can start as well. Like I said, educating yourself is going to be step number one out of everything.
I love that, man. And I love what you said there. You kind of give your clients some tough love when they start, you know, kind of resenting the process.
Yeah, dude, you have to.
You have to. That's awesome. And you're right. But like you said, you laid the groundwork from the get-go. Like you're not telling them anything that, you know, or I guess you're not excluding anything that they should hear. Like you're telling them, hey, this can be difficult. Hey, you have to be committed to this for 6 to 12 months. Hey, you know, that pasta or whatever, that's going to go. Like you're not going to be able to have that. So you're right. And that's just the key again, from having clear expectations before you start any program, you should have clear expectations of what to expect. Like you said, you should be well knowledgeable and well versed on that subject and then have accountability. So the only other question I have for you, well, two more questions I have for you here is, so obviously in your career, you're pretty successful. You're doing really well. Is there any failure or adversity that you look back on and you say, wow, without that failure, without that challenge, without that adversity, I wouldn't be where I am today?
Yes. I'm glad that you asked that question because I don't really get to talk about this too much, but I think as a dietitian, you, especially one that has experimented and gotten involved in many different kinds of approaches that go against the grain or that kind of break paradigms, sometimes you start to think, you know, as you're coaching clients, you know, you sometimes adopt some of those new mentalities, new approaches, and obviously that sometimes blurs your ability to properly, let's say, either assess or educate a client because, again, you have all this. Let's say, for example, I was following the ketogenic diet, so now my entire brain is all revolved around fat. So sometimes it was, like, difficult to kind of separate myself from that mentality and to say, you know, like, listen, like, well, this person, and it's not like I ever, like, pushed somebody to do it just because I was doing it. But, and, you know, in the background, I was thinking, well, maybe this person maybe may benefit from a ketogenic diet. And sometimes it was not necessarily the case. So I think that's something that made it difficult for me as an online coach and registered dietitian to really kind of set those boundaries and look at things very objectively and look at the science and look at the research and understand if this is a proper approach for somebody that you're coaching. And you know, I think moving, I learned that, you know, and having done all these things that I've done, now I'm like, I have a clear understanding, like, you know, some people, well, like, okay, maybe this is something that we could explore and they may be, it may be a benefit for this person, but, you know, we have to really dissect down, you know, the facts and understanding if this is going to be for this individual. So I think, you know, definitely growing my business and growing this entire online coaching platform, I've learned that you have to stay objectively and you always have to trust science and really listen to the people that you're talking to and not being afraid of, like you said earlier, being, you know, giving some tough love to people because that's really what's going to give them the best results. And you're doing it for their own good. We're here to change people's lives and that's our calling. That's what we do, what we do. So sometimes you just need to keep your bias away and be objective about the recommendations that you're given. That thing has been my biggest kind of like downfall in this entire process, to sometimes not doing that. And I have definitely corrected that throughout the process.
Love that, man. I absolutely love that. Thank you for sharing that. So, sir, per usual, dropping knowledge bombs. Great, great, credible information. Like I said, whenever people have keto questions or whatever, I always, you know, make sure I tag you or send them your way, because like I said, it's very good information. It's very credible information, and it's non-biased information, which is the hardest thing to find. You said there aren't many people credible talking about that, about this. And if they are maybe credible talking about it, it's literally like keto or, you know, like no way. It's, you know, my way or the highway kind of
thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that, man. If people want to learn more about your content, your information, if they have, you know, questions and want to reach out, how can people connect and reach out with you?
There's two ways. I think the best ones are going to be on my Instagram. And my tag is going to be at Vive, or some people call it Vive, but it's V-I-V-E Nutrition. That's on Instagram. And you can also visit my website at www.vive-nutrition.com. And just for you listeners, and I know we're not talking too much of it about intermittent fasting, but you know, I'm a big proponent of it, but I did write a 52-page intermittent fasting guide for literally for dummies, for people that have no idea what it is. So it's very easy to read and understand. And it's available for free for people that want to download it. And it's available on my website. And there's also a link for it on my Instagram if people want to go in there and check it out and download it and read it. And maybe just shoot me a message if you have any questions. And on my IGTV, I actually have a 5-part series that I'm actually dissected down the whole intermittent fasting approach. And maybe you can find out more about it on there as well.
Perfect. So I'll be sure to link to all that, especially that ebook. If you have questions, it seems like that's a great place to start as a free resource. So dude, thank you so, so much for coming on today, for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you had a long work day and doing this, man, is very beneficial. So I truly appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Tony, for having me. Always a pleasure. And let's try to do this again with the fasting part, because I'd definitely like to talk about that a little bit more.
That would be good. So let's do that. If you're listening to this and you would love to hear more about intermittent fasting, have Andreas come back and talk more about that, let us know. Shoot us a DM, leave us a comment, leave a review on the podcast and let us know, and we will make that happen. But thank you so much for your time again, brother.
Thank you, Tony.